Now, with thanks to Spar, I am delighted to say Irish Olympian and 400-meter star Charlene Maudsley joins us here on Game On this evening. Charlene, thanks so much for taking the time to chat. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Listen, first off, congratulations on your recent victory in the 400-meter at the Indoor Invitational in Scotland. New PB, 51.69 seconds. Notably, a good 0.22 difference. How does this performance influence your confidence and goals for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it's been really important because obviously, I've changed coach, so I'm in a new training block now, which has been very different. And we had just come back from camp in South Africa, so I raced less than a week from that camp. So we hadn't really done any race specific stuff. So I was kind of going into it a little bit blind. I didn't know what I would run. And that was new for me because usually I do know what I'm going to run. I have a fair idea. So yeah, it was good. And then when I seen that I had ran a PB, it was just kind of like, okay, it's all worth it now. So yeah, I was really, really pleased.
Does the result at the start of the year, and taking into consideration not long back from South Africa, your new link up with Tony Lester now, does it just show that this new regime is already making massive strides?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny because I raced the week after in Metz in France, so last week. And I think I ran 51.86, and I was like, even though that was still faster than my old PB, I was like, oh, it wasn't another PB. So you kind of get brought back to reality a little bit. And I want to run faster than 51.69 that I've already ran. So I think now, knowing that I ran that first race with a PB, I know I'm capable of running faster. And I think that's what's really important, because of that's what brings your self-belief on. And if I know I'm able to do that, why not do it in a race?
How did the move come about initially, and what was the primary reason for parting with Gary Ryan and relocating with Tony?
I suppose after 2024, I had always wanted to get to the Olympics with Gary, and that was always our focus, and we had never really looked beyond that. And I had always said I would love to train with a professional group. And I guess I spoke to Tony briefly in Paris. He had a cardiac arrest last June, and I was just really asking him how he was, because I was friends with Labby and Lena, and I knew from them that he had had that. And I was just asking how he was, and we had a simple conversation. And then he told me he was relocating to the UK, and that kind of always stuck back into my head because he was the sprint coach for Denmark. So he was living in Denmark, and that's where the girls were training under him. And they had then told me that they wanted to like create a new dynamic in the UK, and super close to home. So I'm a bit of a home bird, so I didn't want to venture too far. So yeah, it was really nice that when I actually looked at maybe moving coach, I thought Tony just kept sticking in my head. And he's obviously coached like numerous Olympians and world championship winners and medalists all throughout the years. And yeah, I guess his resume spoke for itself in a way. And yeah, he's a great person as well. So I felt like to have someone who, I can joke around with, but also take the work super serious was the perfect fit for me.
I know it's still a relatively short period of time since you've relocated, but how have you found the move professionally and even personally? Because you mentioned your home, but I know England's not too far away, but it still is a change.
Yeah, so far we've just been on camps, so it's been like busy, but I love coming home. I have the 3 week camp in South Africa, and I'm counting down the days to come home. Luckily, I was there this time with one of my best friends, Kira, and she's in a different training group, but I was like to her, I was like, when we arrived on the Saturday, I was like, it's only 3 weeks to go home. And she was like, why are you talking about going home already? So that's how much I think of home and how much I love it. So I like to be, that little bit closer. But yeah, change is always good. It's scary, but it's also exciting. And I think, as I openly said that I want to run until 2028, so it's not that long. So yeah, it's exciting.
What adjustments have you made or have you planned out to make now going forward with the new training in terms of workload or even changes in style or manner of running?
Yeah, like again, I just put that all down to Tony. Like I guess I look at that's his job. I just have to listen and do the work. But like small things, even like getting me to focus more on every run and training and not just focus when it comes to a race. You have to be dialed in all of the time. Like especially when you start the run, not it doesn't mean like those 6 minutes in between reps you have to be super serious. That's not the case. But when I start running, I need to think this is how I'm going to run in a race. And Tony's very re like he's really, really good for me. When we run a run like that's 300 meters, for example, he will always make sure that we're on that first 100 like we would do it in a race, no matter how slow the run is. So even though we might slow down for the second 200 or 300, that first 100 is key. He always says that's how you set the race up. So I've become really good at that and setting my race up. And yeah, hopefully I'll be able to do that in the coming weeks and the coming months.
Speaking of the coming weeks and coming months, you mentioned your home bird. Will we see you at the Irish Indoors at the end of the month?
Yes, I will be there. I'm really excited. I can't wait for all my friends and family to go. Tony had actually said to me that we were going to run the 200. And I was like, pretty much everyone I know was like, well, we have tickets for the Sunday. And I was like, well, the 200 is only on Saturday. So I guess I'm running the 400. So I had to go back to Tony and say, I think I need to run the 4. And he was happy. He was like, OK, it'll be a bit of preparation for Appledorn. So, yeah.
You'll certainly keep the home crowd happy. What are the targets then for the Europeans then next month?
I guess I don't really have one. I need to discuss with team management and also Tony to see what I'm going to do regarding the relays, because the mixed relay is on before the individual campaign kicks off and the women's is obviously after. So it's a no-brainer for the women's. Of course, I will run that all going well, that I'm in good shape and the body's happy and healthy. But yeah, it will just be a matter of seeing where to go. Like indoor, I would love to say like that, of course, I want to make the final, but indoor running is so messy. Like last year when I had qualified for the final in the world indoors, then I got disqualified. So you just have to, you have to wait for an hour after you qualify to make sure you've qualified.
The fun of it all, Charlotte. You're well used to it, I'm sure, at this stage.
Exactly. But,
I know you spoke about it before and you even mentioned it there about the intentions to compete until LA 28, and that's been extended from initial plans to perhaps call it a day after Paris last year. What was the driving factor that influenced the extension that you gave yourself?
I guess speaking to people and how well we had done at the Olympics, and then people saying you're only 26, like come on, you know, you'll only have one shot at this. So I figured, okay, I'll push it out till I'm 30. So I'll be listening to no one when it comes to 2028. I will be having my retirement party in LA, hopefully, all going well that I get there. But yeah, I guess just kind of age and also how much, like I could see I'm still getting better. And thankfully that has paid off that I have ran faster so far this year. So it means that people were right and I was wrong. So yeah, that was kind of the factor that made me decide to stay.
Given it's a set period now, the few years, does it make you more focused and even just more driven to know even in the back of your mind, you've a set amount of time left to achieve what you want to achieve in your career?
Yeah, and I think for me, I don't know if I'm weird because I don't have anything else that I really want to achieve. I do want to achieve sub 50 seconds, but there's nothing, I don't look at any particular championship as this has to be the one. You know, I always walk away from this sport with my medals, like no one can take them off of me. So to me, that's everything I've done. I always said I wanted to be an Olympian. I've achieved that. So everything now is just a bonus. So I'm actually in the sport this year really to enjoy it. Of course, I want to get faster. I don't want to be in the back of the race. But yeah, I think that's kind of a great mentality to have as well, because I feel no pressure. I don't really feel, you know, it's not a burden to me. So I'm really enjoying the process.
That pressure being alleviated, how beneficial do you think that might then add to your performance on track?
I think it's good. I think my first race this year, that one in Glasgow, I ended up falling into old habits and I got really, really nervous. But I noticed it in myself straight away. So I took my headphones off and I went and I chatted to my friend and I got rid of the nerves, because sometimes I'll put my headphones on, become this super strict person, which I'm not at all any other day of the week. But somehow when I think putting my headphones on and shutting everyone out is good for me on a race day, it's not. My strength and conditioning coach, Martina, she was with me in Paris and I did that before my repetage round. And she was like, I knew you were going to run bad, because I didn't let anyone speak to me. So I just realized that I'm not that person. I have to be the one who's chatting, or, you know, just forget everything that's going on and just remember I've trained hard for this. I don't act like that in training. So there's no need to act like it in a race.
Given your, I suppose, desire to engage with friends and fans and everyone around you, and you've been engaging with a lot of people on social media, answering questions about your training, personal preferences, is it difficult maintaining that balance, having the pressure or demands of a public presence and then also being the professional athlete?
I don't think so. Sometimes I'll try engage on social media and then I'll forget to answer the questions, and then people say, why did you put that up? You forgot to answer, you didn't answer them. And I'm like, guys, I forgot. But no, I do. I liked it because I get so many messages a day that I do want to, you know, let people know the insights. But, you know, it's a step that I'll let people know so much into my training and I'll let them into my life as far as I want to. I don't have to post everything and I don't have to share everything online. Maybe one day I will, but right now what I share is enough for me. And, you know, I like people to know what training I'm doing because they're so interested and they support me. So I like people to know, you know, what's it like to train with Tony? What's it like to train with the girls? You know, they're interested. So I know I would be interested if it was someone else. So I would want to know. So sharing that for me is just, it's easy. And, you know, no one's forcing me to do it. So I can do it in my own time. I can do it my own free will. So I think that's what's important as well.
Is there, I suppose, a view or is it important to you that aspect of your life, that it's important to grow the sport and continue to inspire new generations in that regard?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know that I have young girls following me on social media. So what I put out there, they're going to see that. So, you know, before I didn't really think that way, whereas now I probably look at that a little bit more and I want to be a positive reinforcement for them as well. Even if it's things like posting what I eat. Like, you know, I will get a lot of people in my DMs who will be like, why are you eating pizza? Like, shouldn't be eating pizza. And I'm like, yes, I should, because I'm fueling my body. Like, it doesn't matter what I'm eating. This misconception that you have to eat healthy all the time is, it's crazy to me. So like, just to let people know it's okay to eat, like, it's a good thing. You need to fuel your body. Things like that, I feel I didn't have when I was growing up. So I think it's kind of refreshing for people to see that as well.
Is it difficult to combat? And we spoke on the show before, English Premier League referees, Kai Havertz' partner getting some serious abuse because he misses a shot. Something so simple in, from a sporting perspective, then it gets so direct, it gets so personal so quickly as well. Like, is that a difficult aspect to cope with for, from your point of view? Do you suffer any kind of that negativity?
Of course, a little bit after the Olympics. You know, I was the person who carried home the baton in fourth place. It wasn't exactly, you know, the nicest, but honestly, 98% of that was positive support. The amount of people, the lovely messages I got, like, people cried to me, I cried to them. It was, you know, it was so special to see. And of course, I get comments all the time. And, you know, I posted that I got my Olympic tattoo and, you know, people were commenting under it. You should only get that if you win a medal and things like that. And I'm like, take a day off, John, or whatever your name is. You know, like, take a day off from commenting on my Instagram post. But no, it usually is, honestly, 98% of it's fine. Sometimes I am a little bit fiery and I will comment back. I think I posted a video, it's funny because everyone's, don't look at the comments, but everyone looks at the comments. And someone said, I posted a video on my Instagram of me running. And someone was like, everyone was saying, oh, you look so fast. And then one guy was like, training for what? Fourth at the Olympics. And I just replied, thanks. How did you get on? So that response did well, but I don't bite back to everyone.
Yeah, it's allowed sometimes, I suppose.
Sometimes.
Have a day off, John. I'm going to live my life by that mantra. Have a day off, John.
Yeah,
with respect exactly. To the John's listening.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Listen, Charlie, before I let you go, broader picture. Sarah Healy lowered her 1500 metre indoor record. Off the top of my head, Lauren Cadden had a really strong performance. I know Rashida skipping the indoors, but just overall, how special is this current crop of Irish female athletes in your view?
It's unreal. Like, I love to see Sarah. Sarah broke the 1500 metre record. She broke the 3K record twice. I was like, this girl's on fire. So it's insane. But like, honestly, so many people are just doing so well in the sport and across the board, like all sports are doing insane. I feel like one person does good and we're all getting that motivation to keep going. So it's absolutely amazing to see. And I'm just delighted to be a small part of that.
Well, listen, no doubt you'll be a major part of it going forward, starting with the indoor. So we'll see you at the indoor. So there's lots to look forward to coming up now in the coming days even.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited.